And honestly, I don't know if this is going to be a one-part message or several-part message. As I prepare this, as I put this together, it started to expand. We'll see how the Spirit leads this morning. But I want us to look at a thought of keep building the wall. Keep building the wall. Now I want you to think a minute. In a minute we'll read the scripture. We're going to get into this. We're going to develop the truths that are here before us. But how many would agree that the Christian life gets hard at sometimes? How many of us would agree this morning that when you and I try to do that which is right, not that we're perfect in doing it, we can get discouraged at times? How many of us would agree this morning when we are trying to live the Christian life, we've even been defeated before? How many can truthfully say when we're doing right, then we see attacks that come during or after the victories we have? Now, where we're at in Nehemiah, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4. But let us keep in mind this morning, as we look at Nehemiah this morning, this is the context and the background of the book of Nehemiah. The people are in the process of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This would have been hard work, back-breaking work. This was not an easy task. Now today, some of you built walls before. Now, most of our walls are built with 2x4s. And usually we build, and we build a section at a time. We put them up. We use some others to support those walls. And then we build a little more. And then we even have cranes that bring in the wood. If you're building something big of size, you don't just go to Home Depot and put it in the back of your truck and bring it. Usually you get it delivered. You've seen some of the new buildings and the new homes around here. They get the material brought to them, and they build it. And it still work. But imagine building the walls. Imagine them not having the technology, the equipment, the things that we have today. What do they have to do? They had to carry those. And a lot of times they were built with stone, with rocks, with boulders, different sizes, different weights, different things. And they would bring those and they would build up the walls there. A lot of times they would have an assembly line, if you will. And that, you know, and they would pass one to the next, and get it up to the front. And that person would place that rock exactly where it needed to be. How many played Tetris before? And realize you can't always just put every rock together, and sometimes you have to move stuff around. And you put it around, and they would build that wall. And they're building this wall because this is the work of the Lord. This is what God has commanded them to do. They had to build the wall because they wanted to keep the world out. They had to build the wall for protection. They had to build the wall to be able to keep things the way they ought to be. And the wall's been torn down, but they're rebuilding the walls. But it takes work to rebuild the walls. And over the course of time, as we see, there was attacks that came as they were trying to rebuild the walls. But we can say, because we get the rest of the story, they were victorious. They were able to rebuild the walls. They were able to get done what God wanted to do. But it was not easy. There was much that came as they strived to do what God wanted to do. It's even said there were some that even quit along the ways. But it's even said there's others that came and helped fill in the spot. There was those, as it had gone through, there was much turnover, if you will. But it continued, and it went forth. I believe if we look around this morning, I believe we would see in our Christian circles today, there's been much turnover, and that's sad. There's been much turnover in the sense there's some that started but did not end strong. There's some that started not strong but ended strong. Praise the Lord for those. And we need to understand that every one of us is responsible to keep on keeping on and keep building the walls. No matter what comes the way, no matter what happens, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, we got to keep building the wall. If you're able to, please stand with me. Nehemiah chapter 4. And it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an inn in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said in us 10 times, from all the places, when shall ye return unto us that they will be upon you? Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ask as we look at your word this morning, you would just illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, help us to glean the truths that you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this thought of keep building the wall, we're going to be looking at several verses here, but I want us to get this thought this morning. Trouble will find you. Trouble will find you. How many know you don't have to look for trouble? Now, please understand what I'm going to say. And I know that the person I'm going to use is a good sport, and she will be okay with this. But do you know trouble finds me everywhere I go because I'm married to Tanya? No, just kidding. So maybe it's vice versa, right? But trouble will find us. We don't have to look for trouble. How many found trouble this week? Or how many did trouble find you this week? And it didn't matter where you turn, it's there. There's trouble there. How many love our summers here in Idaho? Every road is worked on throughout the city of Napa and Boise in that area. It doesn't matter where you go. How many thought you could get around some of the construction and all you did is find more construction where you turn? And sometimes it's those highway district guys that cause all those problems, Brother Dick. And they decide to chip seal when school's still in session, at the time the school gets out. We just won't say much, Brother Dick, but there's ideas. Everywhere you turn, you'll find trouble. It's there. It's around us. Now, they were building the wall. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Trouble's not going to find them. They're not in the wrong place. They're at the right place. They're building the wall. They're not doing the wrong thing. They're doing what God's commanded them to do. They're building up the wall for protection. They're doing, trouble's not going to find them, right? You know, if you and I are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we'll never have any trouble in our Christian life, right? Wrong. We're going to have trouble, right? Trouble's going to be there. And that's when the devil attacks, when things happen and things come about. I tell you, we ought to be scared if trouble doesn't find us. Because that means we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I tell you, some days in my life, it'd be really nice to be able to have smooth sailing, as we call it, right? But let me tell you, when we do have the smooth sailing, how many go, when's something going to happen? How many of us been there? Because we know it's going to happen. I tell you, you're going through that really good time, and everything's perfect, and everything's wonderful, and everything's grand and fabulous. I tell you, I'm afraid to get out of bed those mornings. I like to get out of bed when I know there's issues, because then at least we know there's things, right? And there's coming. Trouble's going to find you. Now look at this. They're on the wall. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're building the way they're supposed to be building. They're glorifying God, fulfilling God's calling in their lives. But trouble finds them. Look at verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You see, trouble will come from without. Trouble comes from without. What happened? Oh, Sanballat, he was a nice guy, wasn't he? Now, we don't have time to get into the study of him and who all the things behind him, but he was wroth what the Jews were doing. He did not want that wall to be built, because that was going to hinder him to do what he wanted to do. Do you know, as we look at this morning, the world does not want you, does not want me to continue to live for God, building the walls, if you will. He doesn't want us living, they don't want us living for God. They're wroth when they see us living for God. They're angry. They have indignation, as Scripture uses, against us. That means a deep hatred for the things that we hold fast to. They did not want, Sanballat and all those in that day did not want to see Jerusalem, did not want to see the Israelites, did not want to see these individuals do what God wanted them to do. And it brought anger towards them. And as they brought anger, what does it say? He mocked them. He ridiculed them. He tore them apart for what they were doing. This attack comes from without. It comes out from without this world. I want to tell you this morning, as you and I are in this world, and we're trying to strive to live for God, not that any of us can live a perfect life, because none of us can live a perfect life. We've all gone dumb, right? My book I'm going to write this really soon. We all do stupid. It's how we handle the stupid we do. We do. And we have this happen, but we need to strive to live for God. We need to strive, and as we're striving to live for God, even though we can't live that perfect life, there's going to be those that come against us. There's going to be those in this world that will mock the very things that you stand for. They will come against and say, I can't believe that you stand for that truth. I can't believe you do those certain things. Why are you wasting your time building the wall? Don't worry. The enemy's going to still come. The enemy's going to break the walls down. You don't need to rebuild the walls. That's not going to protect you. That's not going to do anything for you. It's going to crumble once again. Haven't you seen throughout the history of Israel? Haven't you seen how the enemy's gotten in many times? Don't you build a wall. Yes, God told you to build a wall, but don't build a wall. It's not going to help you. Do you know the mocking of this world says the same thing to us as believers today? You say, well, I got to do this because God has commanded me, and this is how I need to do, and I got to live this way, and I got to do these certain things. I got to strive to do this. And the world says, why are you wasting your time? Well, why are you raising your children that way? They're still going to turn against you. What does it matter? Oh, you're living biblical principles. Great, wonderful. How has that worked for you? Oh, look at this. You talk about going to church as a husband and wife, and you still have marriage problems too. I tell you, what is the thing? And the mocking comes against. The ridicule comes against. The things come against. Oh, you talk about tithing and you talk about offerings and you give to that church as you should. And look away, you still have financial problems. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I'm talking about? The mocking comes. The ridicule comes. The attack comes from without. Oh, you think you are just wonderful because you're one of those religious people. But look at all your problems in your life. You see, the mocking comes. The hatred comes. Why do you think the most attacked thing on TV, on entertainment, on movies, more than attacking the family, do you know what the major number one attack that movies, so-called comedians, Dave. You know what they attack the most? They attack the most is that which is religious. Now, use that lightly because you know what I mean. But they attack that which is religious. Do you know it is said that there is more attacks in movies about a church, about religion, about Christianity, about morals and ethics that go with that standard of living than anything else that's given there? Do you know they make more fun of preachers? They make more fun of people going to church than anything else that's out there today. Why? Because there's a hatred for those that are striving to live for God. And that attack's going to come from without. Let me tell you, as you and I are building the walls, as we're going through and doing this, there's going to be the indignation against us. There's going to be the wrath against us. There's going to be those that are angry and come against and mock them. Verse 2, look at this. So we look at this. Trouble will find you. He'll come from without. And he spake before his brethren. And the army of the Samaritans said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What are they going to do? How is that going to happen? They can't build this wall. You're telling me they're going to take the burned rocks. They're going to take the rubble. They're going to take these things and build a wall. It's not going to happen. What are you going to do, believer, Christian? I tell you, look at the mess your life is right now. And you tell me you're going to get back to God, right with God? Oh, I'm glad you had revival meetings last week. And I'm glad you made a decision. But you ain't going to stick with that decision. You have such a mess in your life. Oh, I tell you, oh, you looked all spiritual going forward and making a decision, a commitment to God, and you did this. Oh, guess what? Your life's still a mess. You still have problems with your wife. You still have problems with your kids. You still have this. You still have that. You still are struggling with that area of that sin that has hindered you. You're still struggling with this and that. Oh, where are you at? You haven't controlled your mouth that great this week after those revival meetings. You still have given in to drink. You still have given in to pornography. You still given in to some of those things. How are you going to do? Oh, look at those. Are you going to take those pieces and put them together somehow? That's what he's saying is, yeah, you're going to build a wall with this mess. You know what he forgot and what we forget? We have a mess, but we have a God that can take the mess, take the pieces, and he can put those pieces back together. Now, I tell you, I remember this, and I've used this before in different ways, but I am not a puzzle person. Okay? All those little jigsaw puzzle things with all those little pieces, I don't know who thought of that. I'd rather watch paint dry than put those puzzles together. Because at least paint dry, I can see something and figure it out if I missed a spot and put it together really easy. How many have done those puzzles and they're like 5,000 billion pieces and they all look the same? Every color the same and cut the same, and you're supposed to try every piece and put it together and that. That is a craziness to me. It does not make sense whatsoever. I know many of you enjoy that. You can get right with God afterwards. But you enjoy doing those puzzles. And some of you are pretty good at it. But I have to say, I met one person that I believe is the best puzzle person I've ever met in my life to put them together. That was John. I've never seen someone that can look at a puzzle. He had his table and he had it there, and I was over there many times, and he took the puzzle and he opened the box. It was within 15 minutes he put a puzzle together that was 10,000 pieces or something. And I'm going, how in the world does he do it? He put it out, he looked at it, goes, oh, this piece goes here, this piece goes here. And within minutes, literally, Judy, am I not telling the truth? And within minutes, he had this puzzle, huge puzzle put together. I'm going, how in the world can you do that? Do you know what? That's what God can do. But the world says God can't do it. The world mocks you and says, God can't take your crumbleness. God can't take your pieces. God can't take the rubbish. God can't take all the things you're and put it together. Yes, he can. God can take wherever we're at. He can get us up and get us going again. And we can keep building the wall. We can keep building that there. As we see that attack comes from without. It comes from those that have anger and indignation. And they mocked the Jews, and they mocked them. And they said, how are you going to take these stones out of the heaps and the burning? How are you going to put this together? How are you going to do this? It'll come from without. But you know, that's understandable. Look at verse 3. Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. And it said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone's wall. Mocking even comes even more from without. What does he say? Even if they can get the stones up, ain't going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to help you at all. You say you need to read the Bible every day, preacher. We read the Bible every day, but the world says it's not going to help you. That's just a crutch. Oh, that's just something you, it's a good fairy tale book. You see, the world's going to say that book is not important. But let me tell you, that's the sole authority of faith and practice of our life. This is the help for us. This is the answer to all life's problems. This is what we need. We need the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It gives us what we need. But the world says, even if you read the Bible, even if you pray, even if you witness, even if you give, even if you do those things, the foxes are going to still come in and the foxes are going to crumble the walls. They're mocking the very thing of God. Now, God can give us the strength to build the walls, but God can give us the strength to keep the walls up. Do you know, God, if we ask God and we have God's power and God's strength, the walls don't have to crumble again. The foxes don't have to get in again. God still can give the strength and the help he needs to keep the walls up. You see, the attack comes from without. The attack comes from those that have indignation and wrath against them. It comes against the Jews, and they mock the Jews, and they mock those individuals. But I want you to see, it comes from without. Look at verse 7 through verse 8. We drop down. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So they found out what? The holes were taken care of. The foxes couldn't get in. And then what do? They went and they got more people on their side to come against Jerusalem. All right, we're not able to just get in Jerusalem. Now we're going to get all the enemies together. We're going to join forces together. You see, when you and I are building the walls, and we keep on building the walls, and we keep going, we're going to be mocked. There's going to be those that come against us. It's coming from without. But then they're going to join forces because they're going to do whatever they can to destroy the work of God. I am amazed. In 23 years of full-time ministry, I'm amazed how there's people that could not get along with each other when they're in together, Yet when they leave or they get upset and they're wrath against something, then they can join forces together and they come against. Have you not seen that in America? Have you not seen nations that can't even get along join forces to come against America? Have you not seen those individuals? But let me tell you, there's groups out there that they can't get along. But guess what? They don't like the believer. They don't like the Christian. They don't like the things of God. And so they can't get along, but they join forces together to come against the church, to come against God. And they join forces because they're going to get everything they can and throw everything they can at the work of God. It is interesting. As you and I keep building the wall, and we keep going forward, there is groups that will come together for the sole purpose of destroying what we're trying to do. Look out. Look around you. This is all without. Look around. Do a search. There are groups, special interest groups out there. You know what their purpose is? To destroy Christianity. Destroy the work of God. And there are some of those groups are funded by our government, or were funded by our government. You see, one of the things that we stand for is life. And we understand, and we're not going to get a whole thing about abortion and all that and that there, and euthanasia and all that today. We're not going to get that. But let me tell you, there's special interest groups that's even funded by our government that goes against the very fabric what we stand for in regards to life. There's attacks from without that go against what we believe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me tell you, it's funded by the government to attack that God created this world. There's a very tax without that come against that and say, well, no, you came from a monkey, and we pay for that. I didn't come from some monkey. You may look like a monkey, but we didn't come from a monkey, all right? The idea is this, that tax come from without. They're coming from without, and they're attacking the very fibers, and they're joining forces. They have these special interest groups that come against the truth of the Word of God. And when you and I keep trying to build the wall, and we keep trying to go forward, that attack's going to come from without. But I also want you to see, not only does attack come from without, the attack comes from within. Look at verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so they were not able to build the wall. Who said this? And Judah said, we can't do it. We know this is what we're supposed to do, but we can't do it. Wait, this is coming from within. This is coming from one of the groups that should be right there saying, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's get it done. Let's accomplish it. You see, attacks come from without. We saw that. But attacks come from within. As you and I are trying to keep building the wall, as we keep going, we understand the world saying you can't do it. But now we have those that are considered to be believers saying you can't do it. Hey, I used to live for God. It's just impossible to do. Oh, I used to go to church. It didn't help my family any. Oh, I understand what you're going through, and I understand that, and that's great, that's wonderful. But I tell you, that pastor is just a man like anyone else. Yeah, he is. And so what makes him special? What makes that church special? What makes that? I used to go to church, but I can do church in my own home, in my own way, and I can be right with God. See, the attacks come from within. The attacks come from within, and see, instead of saying, yes, you can, No, you can't. Do you know, as a church family, some of the greatest attacks come from those that know better. Some of the greatest attacks you and I are going to face ought to be from those that are right behind us, right with us, lifting up our arms so we can build the wall. But those attacks sometimes come from those that know what they ought to be doing, yet they're discouraging the very work of God. How is the work of God discouraged from within? Let me give you some ways that the work of God is discouraged from within. These are simple thoughts here. Do you know one way the work of God is discouraged in a church and discourages people from building the walls? When people complain about the very walls being built. Well, that's not how I would build a wall. I think the stone should be over there. I think it should be done this way. It comes from those that will look at it and say, wait, I don't think it should be done this way. I think that's from within. It's those that complain about what's going on. And you know, usually, those that complain about how the wall's being built aren't building the wall themselves, they're sitting on the sidelines. But they complain about the wall. You see, the attacks are coming. It comes from without, but it comes from within. It comes from those that should be building the wall. It comes from those there, but they're saying, well, that's not how I would do it. I would do that differently. I would handle this situation, and I would handle that different, and I would do this different. And the complaints and the murmuring and the disputing comes. That's how the attacks come from within. How else does attacks come from within? Not just the complaining, the murmuring. The attacks come from within when we aren't willing to do what we're supposed to be doing. Do you know, part of a New Testament local church, every one of us has a responsibility, and we have a part in building the walls. Every one of us is to be functioning, no matter our mental ability, no matter our physical ability, no matter our financial ability, it doesn't matter. Every one of us has a crucial part within the church to build the walls. When we get later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about spiritual gifts. And the idea is, you may not know what gift you are to do, but you work every gift and you find out what God wants you to do and you do it. And we are to take what God has given us and use it. You see, the attacks come within when we complain. The attacks come within when we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. Do you know another attack that comes within? It's a form of discouragement. And discouragement comes when we don't show up. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with everybody this morning. Not that I'm not honest, but I just want to put out there. Do you know one of the most discouraging things for a pastor or leader of a church is when people don't come? I understand sicknesses. I understand health. I understand all that. That's not what I'm saying. But discouragement comes when people don't show up. Now, I don't prepare a message to make people happy or do this or do that. I don't preach to man. I understand as I prepare, I'm preaching for God. I'm preparing for God. But anyone that's done any type of speaking or teaching, it's a lot more encouraging to preach to 40, 50, 60 than to 2. How many ever try to teach a class to 1 or 2? Not just a one-on-one thing. It's hard, is it not? And it's discouraging, too. It brings discouragement. I tell you, we're supposed to be building the walls, but we pick and choose where we're going to be faithful. And that attack comes from within. What services we're going to come to. Well, preacher, we don't have to come to all services to be spiritual. You don't. But I tell you, if we're going to build the walls, and if we're going to keep going on, and we're going to encourage one another, we're going to help one another, we need to be around each other as much as we can and keep encouraging one, keep building one another up, and keep getting the messages God wants us to get. Because guess what? Every message that I preach, every message that someone else preaches from this pulpit is prayed about, sought, what God wants. And when we're not here getting the messages, we're missing what God has for us. And we're never going to keep building the walls. We're never going to keep going forward if we're not doing it. Now, I want to hit another thought here this morning. We get discouraged because people don't show up. And it's also encouraging to not just the preacher, it's encouraging to other people when we see people show up, by the way. It's encouraging to you. It's encouraging not that you make decisions because other people make decisions, but it is encouraging to say, hey, God's working in someone else's heart. I don't need to be ashamed that God's working in my heart. And encourages us. That's why I encourage people to come to the old-fashioned altar. Not to make a show. No. Because it encourages us to keep building the walls. And we need to encourage one another. Attack comes from within. When we aren't giving and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I'm going to be careful what I'm going to say. Morning. I prayed about this a lot, how this was going to come across and how this is, because I don't want anyone to think all the church cares about is money, because that's not. But let me tell you, when the tax comes from within is when God's people aren't giving the way they ought to be giving. Now, I understand God takes care of things. He does. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with the heart. Now, I know some give way above. But I just want to hit something this morning. If you looked in the bulletins the last months, from the first of the year, our offerings have averaged about $1,400 to $1,600 a week. To make budget, we need roughly $2,500 a week. Now, because of other things throughout the years and throughout that, we've been able to go. And not, but guess what? That's going to run dry. And the tax come from within because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I tell you, I'm preaching in Malachi. Those that aren't here, family, we're in Malachi, and I'm preparing, of course, ahead of time and putting this together. But this whole idea of robbing God, you know what we do? We tip God. We are giving our tithes and offering today. Not everyone. I'm not saying everyone, because there's some that really do. Please, don't take I'm beating anyone up. I'm just sharing the truth. And what has gone on and what has happened is, I think many believers today, and the attack comes from within, is because we're tipping God. Now, I understand some give once a year and some give this and that. That's great. That's wonderful. And they give the whole thing. That praise God for that. And they don't give weekly. That works for them. Or they give through this retirement thing, and that's wonderful. So just because you don't see someone put money in the offering plate doesn't mean they're not giving, by the way. I just want to say that. But what I'm saying is this. Even with those other gifts that came in, that's what we're averaging. Do you know if everyone gave what they were supposed to give and not even above it, I believe no church would have any financial problem. Because it doesn't matter the amount of money that comes in. It matters the heart behind it. And God takes care of, God blesses, and God takes care of those things. You see, attacks come from within. Discouragement comes from within. Discouragement comes from within as you're keeping and building the walls. When you have people that attack the very fabric in what you're using, those rocks aren't good enough. Those rocks are just pieces. Why don't you use something else? I want to say something this morning. I want to say this. You do not have a perfect pastor. I know that surprised Tina. I use Tina because Tina's put up with me the longest, I think. Lori's right behind her. Lori smirked on that one too, so I'm kind of nervous. And I understand my limitations. But I want us to understand, as much as I can, I do that which is right and I'm supposed to do. Does not mean I won't make mistakes. Because guess what? I've made mistakes over the years. Doesn't mean I won't do things that I should not do, because I'm a human just like Rich. Did you get that, Rich? Brian, don't you laugh. You're right there too. It doesn't mean that. But it means, as I'm prayed up, seeking the face of God, I will lead the church the way that God wants us to go. And I pray that each member of this church is regularly prayed up and prepared up to follow the leading and the working of the Holy Spirit. And as God leads the pastor, God leads the people to follow, and we go forward building the wall. But this is what happens when the attack comes within. Hey, Susie, guess what? I heard about Pastor Bless. Oh, guess what? I heard about Dick Smith, one of the deacons. I tell you, look at that funny looking guy. Let me tell you some things about him. And what do? The attacks come from within. And instead of having unity, and we're going to get in this probably next week because we're not even close to being done with this message. The attacks come within, and instead of having unity, what do? We start dividing, and the attacks come within the church, and the walls come crumbling down because the attacks are coming from within. Wait a second. I understand attacks coming from without. I understand the indignation and the anger and the wrath and that coming. I understand all that from the outside world. But Judah says, hey, you can't do this. You can't build. You can't do it. But I want you to look. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. They were in bed, if no better terms, with the enemies, and this was discouragement. Those people dwelt aside the enemies with the enemies, and now they're saying the same thing the enemies say. That's the Reader Digest version. That's exactly what happens in the church sometimes. Believers will join forces and take philosophies and take teachings and take things from this world and use it against the very fabric, very work of God. You see, trouble will find you. As I started off, trouble will find you. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you. It comes from without. It comes from within. Next week, we're going to look at this thought of how to be prepared for the trouble that comes. We're going to look at this thought of how to be prepared for the trouble that comes from this portion of Scripture. Because I believe in this portion of Scripture, it gives us several steps of being prepared for the trouble coming. Trouble finds us, but how do you deal with the trouble that comes in our lives? This morning, we're going to be done. But I want you to think about this. We had a great week of meetings. God did some amazing things. I've had many phone calls, many talks with many individuals in this room, and some that aren't even here this morning, that said how God spoke to them. Now, what I find interesting, some of the ways God spoke to them had nothing to do with any of the messages that were preached. I always find that exciting, how God can do that. Attacks are going to come. Trouble's going to find you. Some of you already faced that trouble this week. Some of you went through some things this week. Some of you, some of the things I know about, some of the things I don't know about. Doesn't matter. Many face trouble this week. But keep building the wall. Don't get discouraged. Attacks are going to come from without. Attacks can come from within. But God has called us to something great. God has called us to keep building the wall. God has called us to keep on keeping on till He calls you home. God has called us to finish the course that He set before us. Don't quit. Don't allow the outside or the inside to affect what we're supposed to be doing for His honor and His glory. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You for Your precious.